Good afternoon, and thank you so much for showing up for a session about economics. It's always dicey when I do this, and my wife always tells me when we go to cocktail parties, don't tell people what you do or you'll be standing in a corner alone all night. So I use the word business here instead. This is some work that comes out of some work I did for Jane Levy, so I need to stop now and give her credit, because all the best stories I'm going to tell, I took right from Jane. So if you want to get the better version, read the book. She helped me find some of the data that we've got here. And the deal was, I wouldn't talk about it until after she started selling books. So she's selling books, I'm talking about it now. So basically, this is a story more about Christy Walsh than it is about Babe Ruth, but the interesting numbers are all about Babe Ruth. So I'm going to put a whole bunch of numbers up here. But then, as my son told me this morning, he said, this is really boring because nobody knows what these numbers mean. So he helped me put some context here. So very quickly, Jane tells a couple stories about how Christy Walsh met Babe Ruth, and Christy Walsh changed his story every time he talked to somebody. The cleanest one that I'm going to tell is the one about him hanging around at a bar, which he knew that Babe Ruth always ordered cases of beer from. And when Babe Ruth's call came in to get some beer, he paid the kid to give him the address, and he took the beer up instead and said, Babe, I got a deal that'll make you rich, okay? And apparently Babe decided to go on with it, even though, as if you read Jane's book, and I'll talk a little bit about it, Christy Walsh fought more with Babe Ruth to make him rich than Babe Ruth would have preferred. So as I'm going to show you, Christy Walsh benefited Babe Ruth greatly, but it was not because Babe Ruth helped him at all. So if we take a quick look here, Babe Ruth earned money from several different places. The first column is his actual contracted salary. There wasn't a single year that Babe Ruth actually earned that amount of money from the Yankees. Some years he earned less because he ended up getting fined. Some years he earned considerably more. For example, the first 2 years here, you see he took in quite a bit of money through bonuses. He was getting World Series checks. Toward the end of his career, he got 25% of all the revenue from exhibition games. And then, of course, there are the next three columns, which are all due to Christy Walsh. The endorsement income, the annuities, the trust funds, and more of that will come up later when I show how Babe Ruth lived and how Christy Walsh really helped Babe Ruth live after the Depression. Now, that's a lot of numbers, but let's put those in context a little bit. So during the period that Babe Ruth played for the Yankees, he played for them for 15 years, there were 238 different players that the Yankees signed to contracts. They made a total of $4.2 million over that 15-year period. 21% of that total was paid to Babe Ruth. So if the Cubs, and this is one of my favorite examples because I'm still annoyed by this, if the Cubs paid Yu Darvish 21% of their payroll, he'd be earning $44 million a year, which means he'd get about $40 million per win this year. If Ruth earned 21% of today's Yankee payroll, his salary this year would be $45.8 million. So that kind of helps you put that that payroll into perspective there. So this graph kind of shows how Ruth's earnings changed over his career. The red line is just his basic contract. The blue line is the extra money that he earned from the Yankees, World Series, bonus, etc. And the green line is adding in his endorsements. Okay, so again, let's put that into context, because the highest line there is only about $180,000, which, it's one-third of the minimum pay that a baseball player earns today. So let's take a look at Ruth's pay relative to other players. So this is Ruth's salary. That left-hand, the vertical axis there, is a multiplier. It's Ruth's salary relative to the average Major League Baseball salary every year of his career. So if you look here, you can see that Ruth earned somewhere between 5 and 11.5 times the amount of the average Major League Baseball player. The red line is Ruth's salary relative to the second highest paid player in the league every year. Now, in a minute, I'm going to show you how significant that is. But he earned anywhere between 40 and 140% of what the second highest paid player earned every year that he was with the Yankees. So if Max Scherzer was paid 11 times the Major League Baseball average, and Max Scherzer is the current highest paid player in baseball, he would be making $50.5 million this year, which is about $10 million more than he's actually making. And if Mike Trout, who just signed the greatest contract in Major League history, at least for now, were paid 2.4 times the highest Major League Baseball salary, the second highest salary, which is what Ruth was paid 1 year, he would make $72.8 million this year alone. So that kind of puts in context what Ruth's salaries looked like relative to the rest of Major League Baseball at the time. Ruth was a behemoth. So if we take a look at Ruth's other Yankee earnings, during the course of his career, at the end of his career, just to get him to show up for exhibition games, the Yankees gave him 25% of the take. 1921 is my favorite year. It's the only year that Babe Ruth had a bonus in his contract, and it called for him to get $50 per home run. So what did he do? He had 59 home runs and increased his base salary by almost 30%. Now, another interesting deal here is 1920, 1921. This is before he met Christy Walsh. When he was told that he was sold to the Yankees, he was out in Hollywood at the time making a movie for which he was paid more than he was making and playing baseball. Now, he never collected all of it. He had a check that never got cashed because the company went bankrupt, but he got $25,000 or $30,000 for that movie. So he very rightly thought, I can make plenty of money without having to play baseball. So he demanded that the Yankees give him a portion of the sales price and renegotiate his contract. Well, he didn't get the former, but he did get the latter. He actually renegotiated his contract to double the salary. He had signed a three-year contract before 1919 with the Red Sox, which called for $10,000 a year. Ruth demanded and got $20,000 a year. However, the Yankees, who thought this might happen, had already negotiated a deal with the Red Sox. If they had to renegotiate Ruth's contract, the Red Sox would pay 50% of any increase up to a total of $5,000. So they renegotiated the contract, they kept the base salary the same, gave him a $10,000 appearance bonus just for showing up for the first day of spring training each year. The Red Sox paid $5,000 of that. Now, for Red Sox fans out there, wait till the Babe Ruth book comes out, because there's an article in there about how worse it got. It got even worse for the Red Sox. I'll only give you a tantalizing hint now to tell you that if you hate Harry Frazee now, you'll really hate him after you find out what that sale really cost, okay? So if we take a look at his total Yankee earnings, it looks even a little better, right? These two lines go up. But he earned a lot of money, as we saw, beyond baseball, okay? The Yankees paid him $885,000 over his 15-year career, and Christy Walsh helped him earn another $678,000 over his career. So if we put that in there, then we can see that relative to the average baseball player, and I did not make any attempt to go back and figure out what the average baseball player earned in commercial endorsements, but Roberta Newman, I think, is going to be here afterwards, and she's going to talk a lot about those kind of things. But Ruth was making up to 25 times as much as the average baseball player, okay? And the kind of places he was getting money are really interesting. This is one of my favorites, the Wizzit, okay? This was overalls with a zipper on it. Babe Ruth was paid $3,000 for a two-hour photo op here. $3,000 was the average Major League Baseball salary, and he got that for 2 hours to have his picture taken there. Then he also lent his name to Benrus Watches, for which he did nothing. He didn't even have his picture taken. They just used photos that already existed. He got $1,300 for that. That was the average American salary in 1921, okay? Quaker Oats paid him $67,000. That's about what the entire Yankee pitching staff earned in 1921 when they won the pennant for the first time. And he got it for having his picture taken eating some Quaker Oats, okay? Underwear, Babe Ruth endorsed a lot of underwear, and he made $13,000. Herb Pennock never made that much in his entire career, never once made that much money in a year. Babe Ruth went to vaudeville. See if I can get this to work here. It doesn't look like it. Babe Ruth went on vaudeville. He made almost $20,000 on a vaudeville tour. It took the average major league player 3 years to earn that kind of money. And this is actually a picture of him making a recording of one of the songs that he used to sing on vaudeville. His biggest take, though, was from barnstorming. Babe Ruth made nearly $100,000 barnstorming. So remember those Yankees, those 238 players that were under contract during those years? Babe Ruth earned more money than 229 of them during that 15-year period just through barnstorming than they earned their entire career with the Yankees. So all of those players, only 9 earned more in salary than Babe Ruth earned just from barnstorming. Candy is a really interesting one because Babe Ruth had his own candy bar, the Ruth Home Run Bar, which court fights later on forced him to take his name off of it because it was too close to the name of a candy bar that was named after him, but he never got any money from. Of course, that was the Baby Ruth bar, okay? So the Baby Ruth bar was the one that got away. Now, part of the problem was this had started before Christy Walsh came along. And by the time they started noticing that they were selling $1 million worth of these bars a month, and everybody thought that they were Babe Ruth's. Babe Ruth would have people coming up to him showing off candy bars and saying, "I put another penny in your pocket, babe. I bought this." Babe Ruth ate them all the time because he thought they were good. And then he figured out he wasn't making any money. So they tried to sue Curtis, and they lost because they spent too much time waiting around. And Jane Levy tells a wonderful, detailed story in there. But Curtis Candy Company, there are all kinds of documents that show that they were capitalizing on Babe Ruth. They had internal documents, you know, saying how they could capitalize on this. And only once the lawsuit started did they come up with this story that it was actually named after a baby daughter of a president who had served 30 years ago and his daughter died 20 years ago. That's who they were naming the candy bar after. So this was one of the big endorsements that never came through. But part of the problem was Ruth was really pioneering what it meant to be a celebrity. And laws were not clear about celebrities and whether they were making news or whether they had the right to sell their images. So it wasn't a clear-cut case. I mean, today, if I came out with a candy bar and, you know, I plastered Bryce Harper's name on it, it would take 3 seconds before his lawyers would be breathing down my neck, and I'd probably be in jail, okay? So let's take a look at Private Citizen Ruth now. After Babe Ruth retired, this is where Christy Walsh's work really comes in. Because Christy Walsh had to fight tooth and nail to get Babe Ruth to save some money. He's making money hand over fist during this period of time, but he was spending money hand over fist too. So Christy Walsh finally got him to agree to take his endorsement income and let Christy Walsh put it away. And Christy Walsh very famously held a press conference in which Babe Ruth was going to, on his 30th birthday, Babe Ruth was going to open a trust account with $30,000. So he makes this public appearance and he hands his check over to the bank and he gets all this applause and the banker gets all this notice. And then right after it all ended, Ruth said, "Okay, can I have my money back now?" And Christy Walsh said, "No, that's an irrevocable trust. But you'll be thanking me after you retire." And Ruth was not happy about this. But he still let Christy Walsh take this money from endorsements and invest it. So let's take a look at how well that did. These are his post-career earnings, endorsements, the annuity, the trust fund that was set up, eventually grew to over $100,000 and paid out very well. He sold some securities right at the beginning of the war, and he lived fairly well, as you can see. Now, again, a lot of numbers. Let's take a look at how that looks relative to the average American household income. So this is Ruth from the time he joined the Yankees until his death. He earned anywhere between 5 and 103 times as much in a given year as the average American household earned. Now, this area down here looks kind of flat and, you know, looks like, gee, at the end of his life, things weren't doing so well. But that's because of the scale. So if we reimagine that scale here, we can see that even after he retired, Ruth earned between 5 and 35 times as much as the average American household. Through the Depression, through the Second World War, Babe Ruth was doing quite well. So what would that look like today? Well, today, if he earned the same relative salary to the average American household, he would have earned about $1 million as a first-year Yankee. Going all the way up in 1930, would have, you know, today that would have been worth about $5.5 million. Again, that's if he earned the same relative amount, you know, that many times the average American household. Well, let's put that into perspective. So I'm going to take Barry Bonds, okay? And there's Barry Bonds' career. That's what Barry Bonds actually earned. That's what I said Babe Ruth earned relative to the American household. And if you look really close at that, you say, geez, Babe Ruth looks like Billy Hamilton. That's pretty much Billy Hamilton's career salary. So why would Babe Ruth today be paid like Billy Hamilton? Well, the answers are obvious, right? There was no free agency back then. Free agency has done a great job. Television has really caused salaries to go up. The money from television is exploding. This is what excites me. The Cubs contract runs out this year. They'll be able to buy any 5 Yu Darvishes next year when they sign a $1 billion TV package. Sponsorships are big. And then, of course, stadium revenues are also big. So it's just a lot more money. I mean, naming rights, luxury boxes, and tomorrow night, don't miss the Cardiff Crack Nachos at Petco Park, because every nickel of that helped to go pay Manny Machado's salary. So, how did Christy Walsh do out of all of this? He had to battle Babe Ruth for 15 years, but he did okay. Babe Ruth's total endorsements under Christy Walsh totaled $636,000. Christy Walsh got 25% of that. That was the contract he had with Babe Ruth. So Christy Walsh earned $159,000 during that period of time. Depending on the year, he was making anywhere from 5 to 10 times the average salary of an American household at that time. He still was bankrupt by the time that he died. And don't pity the Yankees either. That yellow line is the return, the percentage return that the Yankees earned after buying Babe Ruth. And this does not calculate in the actual cost. I just used $100,000 as the baseline. That's the annual return they earned. You can see 1925 was not a good year for the Yankees because Babe Ruth spent a lot of time with a bellyache and assorted other ailments that weren't reported. But the Yankees earned over 40% almost every year, a 40% return. Now, that's pretty good. If you earn 5% a year, that's pretty good. But if you compare that to the stock market, which went through a few pretty rough years during that time, you can see that they would have done a lot worse had Jacob Rupert invested that $100,000 in stocks. And if he had taken something safer like U.S. government bonds, he would have earned almost nothing. Okay, so he did all right. And of course, Ruth did all right too. And I like to end it with this picture of Babe Ruth on the beach in San Diego where he ended his 1927 tour. And you can see the Hotel Del Coronado right there behind him across the bridge. Thank you very much. I guess I went very fast, so there's time for any questions. If you have criticisms, I'll give you Jane Levy's number for that. So.
Great presentation. Quick question. On one of the slides, you showed that what Max Scherzer would make if it was 21% of the Nationals' payroll.
Yeah.
The comparison you actually made was how much. But I think you said Babe was actually making 21% compared of all.
Okay, over 10 years. Over 10 years. So it's just to put a perspective on how big a sum that would be today.
But no, I think
what Mike Trout was for 1 year though.
Right, but I think you were saying. Oh, I thought you were saying it was 20% of all salaries for all baseball players.
No, it was Babe Ruth earned 21% of all of the money the Yankees paid. So he earned 21%. The other 237 guys earned the other 80%.
Okay,
that was the context I was trying to put it in.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5 to 10 times the average American salary. He was, yeah. Babe Ruth was his big meal ticket, but he represented a lot of people. Pop Warner, Newt Rockne, Lou Gehrig. Lou Gehrig was much more docile than Babe Ruth was. He was much more willing to do what Christy Walsh said, but Lou Gehrig never made the money that Babe Ruth did in any way, shape, or form, so. Yeah, he did not do well during the Depression. I don't remember the exact story off the top of my head. I'm going to make you read Jane's book for that. It's a great read. It is an absolutely great read. So it won't be a chore to read that book, trust me. Yeah, the guy sitting in the second row who asked the last question is at fault for that. So for the last 20 years, I've done a lot of research on the business of baseball at the Hall of Fame. And so I've gotten to know a lot of people. And the contracts that I've done work on, they finally quit letting people get to them because they realized that player social security numbers are on those contracts and some of those players are still living. And if I had realized I could have stolen them earlier, I'd be a lot better off now. But anyway, they cut off access. And so part of the deal was since I had all this information, people who'd call, they'd send them to me, and if it wasn't too big, that I would do it. So 1 year after I left the Hall of Fame, about 2 hours into my drive home, I get this call from Tom, and he said, hey, we've got this author who's doing a biography of Babe Ruth, and she wants to know if she can have your phone number. Can I put her in contact with you? And he said who it was. I said, oh, my God, I loved her book about Mickey Mantle. Yeah, I'd love to talk to her. About 2 minutes later, she called. I remember I had just passed Cleveland at the time. I was on my way to Des Moines to visit my son. We talked all the way across, the rest of the way across Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and when we crossed the Iowa border, we finally hung up, and it was a friendship that lasted to this day. In fact, I'm going out to visit her shortly after I leave here. So that's how I got involved with Jane, and she has been nothing but generous. She had all this great data from Christy Walsh, and she said, I will give you everything if you help me, as long as you don't publish it until after I publish my book. And I said, well, that's a deal I can live with. So this is the start of the Christy Walsh stuff that I've gotten from Jane. So again, I have to give her credit. I have to thank her. If you have not yet read that book, it is fantastic, and not just because the numbers in it are impeccably calculated. So, I haven't read it yet. I have it on my bookshelf, but it's one of the 3,000 books I haven't read yet. I'm waiting to retire so I can start to read it down. Yeah, I have the book. I just haven't read it yet. Yeah, have you ever watched the ESPN series 30 for 30?
I have watched Bro several times.
Yeah. It's stunningly sad how few do. Yeah, it's sad how few do. So I have no idea what the actual percentage is, but it's very sad how many actually end up broke after all of the earnings. And a lot of them become victims of theft is part of it. They line themselves up with irreputable people. So leagues make an effort now, especially the NFL is really good at this. You know, they discourage any new draftee from signing deals with anybody who's not been vetted by the NFL. So there are better, you know, better people who are doing it, but it's still not, you know, not impossible to go broke as an athlete.
You've kind of implied, are you going to be publishing a book also?
No, I'm not a book writer. It's way too much work, and I'm too damn lazy.
What point did your story, it sounded like there was something that was still going to come out that would be published.
I write articles. I'm an academic. I'll write articles. I'm an economist, and in the economics field, you get no professional cachet from writing a book, which seems crazy to me, but yeah, they just say, oh good, now go and publish some articles in some academic journals. That's what we need. So that's what I do. I let people who really know how to write well, historians, write books. So. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate talking about Babe Ruth.